أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى. وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والعصر، إن الإنسان لفي خسر. صلوات
اللهم
صل
على
على محمد
محمد
وآل
وآل
محمد.
محمد.
الله سبحانه وتعالى has announced in this short surah of the Holy Quran an undeniable reality which is related to the life of overwhelming majority of the humankind. Because the overwhelming majority which lives on this planet are actually losers in their life. Innal insana lafi khusr. People are in khusran, in a loss. Their halat is yan. And when you want to emphasize on some reality, you always use qasam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned the qasam of asr in the beginning, and then he announces the reality, and we should realize that actually all the human beings are losers, except those very, very few who are made exempt and mustasna at the end of the surah, where Allah says إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, except those who have iman, وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, and they perform the good deeds, وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. So it requires us to support the haqq throughout our lives, stand alongside with the haqq throughout our lives, advise each other to follow and support the haqq throughout our lives. As soon as we get to know, we find our fellow mu'min brother is following the path of batil, It's our job not just to say, well, I follow the haq, I don't care if there another mu'min brother is following batil. This is not the behavior of a person who wants to be successful. This is the behavior of a loser. This is the quality of a loser. So it's our job to support the haq and stand by the haq and to advise others. Tawasaw. We need to do wasiyyat and advice to others who are not following the haq and not supporting the haq, to support the haq, and likewise to have sabr and istiqamat and patience and resilience in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the khusr and khusran, the loss that a person encounters in his life, it can be related to his life itself. It can be related to his money and wealth that he owns. It can be related to the external belongings which are related to his existence. And it can be related to the internal blessings that we enjoy in our existence. It can be related to the maddi and material blessings of Allah. And it can be khusran, can possibly, what we are talking, that khusran and loss can possibly be related to the material things, material blessings that we enjoy. And the khusran and loss can also be related to the ma'navi and non-material blessings of Allah that the mu'mineen only enjoy. Because the non-mu'mins, a kafir and a munafiq, it's impossible to have any ma'navi blessing of Allah. So, material blessings are also uncountable. Like, somebody has money, somebody has, a position, maqam and jah and mansab, all those different things which are related to the life of this dunya. And ma'navi blessings are also uncountable, which are found in the mu'mineen only. You started from the sihat and the health and well-being that we enjoy, which is one of the best tools to earn our akhirat. قَوِّ عَلَىٰ خِدْمَتِكَ جَوَارِحِ وَشْدُلْ عَلَى الْعَظِيمَةِ جَوَانِحِ. See what Imam Ali alayhi salam says in Nahdul Balagha. Make qawwi ala khidmatika jawarihi. Jawarih in Arabic means the limbs and parts of your body. These material parts of your body which are visible to the eyes. Jawanih means your soul, which is invisible. So make the limbs and parts of my body strong, so that I can be in your service. قَوِّ عَلَىٰ خِدْمَتِكَ. So that I can do khidmat, I can serve you. So you would better serve Allah's cause if you have a better and stronger parts of your body. And, so it helps. Sihat is one of the very helpful elements to serve the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those of the people who are ill, even jihad is saqit and no longer wajib on them. Isn't that right? We all know that. Because the person who is not strong enough from his health point of view is unable to do certain duties which a healthy person can perform for the sake of Allah. And likewise, aql. One of the greatest ma'navi blessings, not the greatest, but one of the greatest ma'navi blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The question may arise in your mind, well, all the human beings have aql. Then why did I say that the ma'navi blessings of Allah, the non-material blessings of Allah, are found in the mu'mineen only? The reason I said that is that aql has an Islamic definition of the word. We are not talking about the general, the usual translation of the word aql means intellect. So all you find a whole bunch of human beings around us in the society who are sane. They are not insane. They are not crazy. But that's not what we are talking about. We are talking about the Islamic definition of the aql. And those of the people who have the Islamic definition of aql, they are the ones who will always be obedient towards Allah, because Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has already defined aql as in Usulul Kafi, that al-aqlu ma ubida bihir rahman wa ktusiba bihil jinan. Aql is something with which you obey Rahman and you acquire the paradise. So any person who is apparently zahiran, he seems to be a sane person, but he is not working on the path to achieve the paradise, this kind of person is Islamically, he cannot be called as aqil. Let the people in the world call him an intellectual person. We don't care what they call. There are lots of sinners and disobedient people towards Allah who consider themselves to be very, very intellectual. And this is a very commonly found illness in our Muslim community also, unfortunately. Lots of people consider themselves to be very, very intellectuals, although they are maybe harming Islam more than what the kuffar are harming and doing towards Islam. So aql, in the Islamic definition of the word, is the thing which is one of the greatest ma'navi, metaphysical blessings of Allah. Likewise, the ma'rifat. Ma'rifat and depth recognition, recognizing the imam of our time. Ma'rifat of the walayat of the imam of our time, which is the key to the ma'rifat of Allah. And ma'rifat of Allah is considered to be the biggest blessing that Allah has given to anybody. So the ma'rifat of Allah entirely in its totality depends on the ma'rifat of the imam of the time, because Allah is known by the humanity, by those of the humans who learned about Allah through the imam of the time. There is no other way for the human beings to learn about the imam of the about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appropriately and fully and completely except through the imam of the time. Because we find Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has already said, Lawlallah ma urifna. If we were not there, if Allah was not there, Lawlallah, if Allah was not there, ma urifna, no one would end up having our ma'rifat. Walawla nahnu, and if we were not there, ma urif Allah, no one would end up having the ma'rifat of Allah. So any human being throughout the history of humanity who had the ma'rifat of Allah, starting from the prophets and the messengers and their deputies and awsiya and shuhada and siddiqeen and saliheen, all and everyone who had the ma'rifat of Allah, to whatever level of ma'rifat they enjoyed, they learned it through the wasita of the fuyuz and faiz of the prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. So this is also one of the greatest, basically, the greatest blessing of Allah is His ma'rifat. And likewise, the iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and kulli ma ja'a bihin nabi. And all the things that the Prophet has brought for us, which is compulsory for us to believe in. So, these are some of the examples of the uncountable list of ma'navi blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, basically, we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He talks about in Surah Zumar, verse number 15, إِنَّ الْخَاسِرِينَ الَّذِينَ خَسِرُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَهْلِيهِمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَلَىٰ ذَٰلِكَ هُوَ الْخُسْرَانُ الْمُبِينَ. The losers are the ones who lose themselves, their nafs, and their family members on the Day of Judgment. And this is the clear khusran, this is the clear loss. And our scholars have said in the tafsir that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He talks about the clear loss, al-khusranul mubeen, khusran-e wazih and ashkar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the ma'navi blessings, related to the ma'navi blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Most of the humans of the history and even today and even in the future are losers in terms of having the ma'navi blessings of Allah. And Imam Fakhruddin al-Razi, one of the very famous scholars of the Sunni brothers, and he has his famous tafsir, Tafsirul Imam al-Razi, Tafsirul Quran. And in his tafsir, when he talks about this verse of Holy Quran, he says, talking about another great scholar, he says, that scholar used to say, well, I was walking in the streets and I found a person selling ice. You know, the people sell ice as their business. So there was a guy in the market who was selling ice. And he was shouting in the marketplace when he was selling the ice that irhamu man yazubu ra'su malihi. And have mercy on the person whose ra'sul mal, that means his seed money, his entire asset of life, entire asset is being lost. Because the person who is selling the ice, that's his whole asset, that's his entire investment. There is nothing to back up. If he loses the ice, if the ice melts, he has nothing else remaining with him. So Imam Fakhruddin Razi says in his tafsir that about the scholar, when I heard that remark, I said, this is exactly the meaning of the verse of Holy Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. Because the ra'sul mal of our existence is being lost 24/7, 365. Every moment which is passing by, if we realize, you know, sarmaye wujudi yara darim as dast meeting, we are losing the asset of our existence. Every moment we are losing, if we realize. So Imam Fakhruddin Razi says, I understood the meaning of innal insana lafi khusr from the seller of the ice. That's what applies in the best form on the human existence. Because we are also losing the rasul mal of our existence. So dunya is one of the best places if a person utilizes this dunya to earn akhirat. And dunya is the worst place if the person gets engaged, gets involved and gets into this dunya and its attachments and loses the sense why we were sent into this dunya, because this dunya is nothing but a matjarul akhirah, a dunya suqun rabiha fiha qawmun wa khasira fiha akharun. Dunya is a marketplace where some people got succeeded, they made a lot out of this life, when others became losers. So it's a marketplace where loss and gain is constantly taking place. Very, very, very few human beings, a fraction of the population, are becoming successful every moment of their life, doing everything for the sake of Allah, and not losing their keeping their eyeball focused on the goal why they have been created and sent down here, whereas all the major portion of humanity is constantly losing. Ad-dunya suqun rabbiha. That's the hadith of Imam Naqi al-Hadi alayhi salatu wassalam. So the only way of success is already mentioned in the verses of Holy Quran. And the verse of Holy Quran where Allah says, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, except those who have iman and وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. Every nafas, every breath that we take, our urafa say, the humanity is divided into two, غَافِل وَغَيْرُ غَافِل. Humankind is divided into two categories. Some humans are غَافِل. They are still unclear what they were supposed to do, what's it all going on, you know, what's the whole thing about, why are we here, who brought us here, why are we brought here, what's the reason we are brought, just to reproduce and to live a life and enjoy and eat food and sleep, Just like the animals do, even some become worse than the animals, isn't that right? So they don't have no idea, they couldn't figure out, maybe they reached the age of 60, 70, 80 or 90 in their life, but had no idea whatsoever why they were brought here. So the humans are divided, our Urafa say, in two categories, ghafil and non-ghafil, and the angels are counting every breath that the humans are taking. It's a countdown timer going on. Every breath is being counted. As soon as the last breath arrives, no further chance. You know, hatta idha jaa ajaluhum la yastakhiruna sa'atan wa la yastaqdimun. There is not even a delay of a while. They cannot even delay for a while. As soon as the ajalun musamma arrives, nothing can be delayed. Nafasul mar, Amirul Mumin alayhi salam says that the breath of a person, nafasul mar'i khutahu ila ajalihi, breath of a person is a step towards his death. So every breath we are getting closer to the death, and we don't know when we are going to die. Nobody knows. And every breath is taking us closer and closer and closer, and we are losing the ra'sul mal, our whole, the blessing system that Allah has provided constantly is towards the loss. You know, even if you know, as a human being, as we get older, our powers, our energies, our capabilities, our abilities, our skills, our talents, things that we can do in the young age, all those things are on the decrease. Isn't that right? We could not do what we could have done 10 years ago. That's very obvious. So an insan is constantly on khusran, non-stop khusran. Except those who act upon the four-point agenda. So Imam Ali alayhi salam has said that لَيْسَ لِأَنفُسِكُمْ ثَمَنٌ إِلَّا الْجَنَّةِ فَلَا تَبِعُوهَا إِلَّا بِهَا. There is no price tag for your lives except the paradise. There is no price for your lives except the paradise. فَلَا تَبِعُوهَا إِلَّا بِهَا. So don't sell your lives, don't sell your souls for anything other than that. That means the only price that can be settled for the value of your soul is the paradise. So anything that you settle, you know, how much, because there are people who are trying to secure an Islam of convenience. We can support the taghuts in our life. We can justify the policies of the evil and corrupt governments and politicians. Because I want to live. So living in this dunya is an uncompromisable law of the thumb for them. We have to live at every cost. We are also living here, you know, we also want to live, but not at every cost. We want to live if our iman is protected, if our values are protected. If our iman and values are not protected, we will give preference to our iman and values. We are not here to live here unconditionally in any on any land. Doesn't matter. But some people are saying, no, we have to live. So we have to get along. What do you mean by that? You think you're living on a certain land is a given, is a mark on the stone, is a given value which can never alter at any cost? Who gave you the license to decide that? Since you have already decided that you have to live, so you have to justify left and right to prove your evil policy and the policy of the evil policy makers, just because you have to live. Oh, so you are trying to rewrite the whole Quranic value system. It's saqaltum ilal ard. Kuch log bhari ho gaye hain, zameen ke sath chipak ke baith gaye hain. Ye de inqad saqil o sangin shudan ke digar zameengir shudan. Zameengiran ye de dar farhang e Quran zameengiran. Some people have got stuck. They became so weighty and heavy, they don't want to move upwards towards the takamul and perfection of the soul. They want to get stuck with the material belongings of this dunya because they want to live at every cost. Come what may, they will sell their faith and values, but they still want to live because it's Islam of convenience. لَيْسَ لِأَنفُسِكُمْ ثَمَنٌ إِلَّا الْجَنَّةِ. So, there is no price for your souls except the paradise. فَلَا تَبِعُوهَا إِلَّا بِهَا. And look at the dua of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam in the month of Rajab, where Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says that خَابَ الْوَافِدُونَ عَلَىٰ غَيْرِكَ. That means those people who arrive on anyone other than you, talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those people who arrive on anyone other than you are basically, are hopeless people. And وَخَسَرَ الْمُتَعَرِّضُونَ إِلَّا لَكَ. And anybody who encounters someone other than you is a loser. So every action that a mu'min performs is for the sake of Allah, and it makes us closer to Allah, to make us eligible to be in the mahzar and huzur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if we perform any action for anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are losers. There are some people on the day of judgment, they would find, if we do our action for the sake of Allah, of course we are going to find it. We're going to find our amal. وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ. We will see the good deed and the bad deed also. Both will be visible to us. We in Islam believe in personification of the amal. Tajassudul amal. Amal will become mujassad in the jasad, in the body form. What sort of that body would be, that's a different discussion, but they will be personified, good or bad deeds. And everybody would see exactly what he did in the form. Good or bad deeds will be seeable on the day of judgment. And we find that, people who have performed their actions for the sake of Allah will be seeing their good deeds. All the wrong deeds that the people did will also be visible to them. And those of the hours in our life where we did not perform the good deed or the bad deed because we didn't do any action for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there will be a gap available for that portion of the actions that will be presented in front of us on the day of judgment. There will be taghabun. What in Arabic we call it, taghabun. That's one of the reasons why the Day of Judgment has 100+ names, and one of those 100+ names is Yawmut Taghabun, the Day of the Gap. So those of the actions which we failed to do any niyat. You know, I eat food, and I didn't do the niyat of Qurbatan ilallah. I was feeling hungry, I just sat on the food spread and I ate it. That's it. So I forgot to do the niyat of Qurbatan ilallah. I forgot Allah at that moment. So those of the segments of my life, when I forgot Allah, there will be a gap in my actions, that gap will also be visible to me on the day of judgment. So people will feel really repenting. Well, it was so easy for me to at least get the sawab by just doing the intention, and I would not have faced this gap. But then, that's the day of Nadamat and repentance as well. That's also one of those 100+ names, Yawmun Nadam, Yawmun Nadama, for some. So we find, to summarize the discussion, our scholars and Mufassireen say that Allah, the first point that we should remember in the light of this verse of Holy Quran is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the buyer of our wujud and existence. So we should remember that our entire existence has a customer. There is a buyer who is there to buy our entire existence from us. Inna Allah ashtara min al mu'minina anfusahum wa amwalahum bi anna lahumul jannah. Certainly Allah buys from the believers their monies and their lives, because the paradise belongs to them. That's what we learn in the light of this verse. So first of all, we should remember that there is a buyer available, which is Allah, buyer for our life. Second of all, we learn in the light of our discussion that Allah buys even the smallest of our assets. Very tiny and minute things that we may not even care about. Very small segments of good deeds. You know, وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ. You know, even if you have like, mustard, you know, see, have you seen the mustard? The small particle of mustard, how tiny it is. Even if you have that tiny good deed, Allah is there to buy it also from you. وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ. And whosoever, you know, performs mithqal zarra of the evil, he will also see that. So basically, Allah is not just the buyer, but he is the buyer of even the tiny, small things, good, small things that you do. So we have to be very careful and particular. Third of all, you don't find buyers in this dunya like this. First of all, you don't find people who are going to buy those tiny things from you, and nobody cares. Nobody can even put a price. Nobody even bothers about those things. So third of all, we learn in the light of this discussion that not just that Allah buys that, He is the buyer, first of all, and He is buying even the smallest of the good deeds, second of all. Third of all, that when He buys, He Himself pays us several times of the reward. The minimum starts from 10. وَمَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ أَشْرُ أَمْثَالِهَا. Whosoever comes with the good deed has 10. So we have 10 folds of the reward if we reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with our good deed. If we reach Allah, if we don't lose our good deeds here with riya and showing off and so many other amal which cause the habt of amal, crashing and collapsing of our good deeds. There are certain haram things if a person performs, his good deeds collapse and shatter and no longer survive. So if we reach Allah with the good deed, the minimum He's going to give to us, 10 times of the reward. If we can manage to reach Allah with the good deed and die away from this dunya by protecting our good deeds and not losing them here in this world by various kinds of harams and riya. So Allah rewards, minimum is 10 times, for some people it's even more, you know, for some people it's even 700 times, you know, سَبْعَ سَنَابِلْ فِي كُلِّ سُنْبُلَةٍ مِئَتْ حَبَّةٍ. In every sumbula there's 100, grains or habba, and وَاللَّهُ يُضَاعِفُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah increases for those whom He wishes. For some, Allah even gives more than that, 700 times. It's up to Him. So this is the third thing. And you see, in the dua that we read at the time of ihtizar, and next to the muhtazir person who is about to die, we discuss in the classes of fiqh, the dua already, which is mustahab and sunnat of Rasulullah. Prophet himself recited the dua at the time of ihtizar, ihtizar-e-maut, you know, sakaratul-maut. So we are Ya man yakbalul yaseer wa ya'fu anil kathir. Don't we say that in the dua? Oh, you who accept little. Wa ya'fu anil kathir, and you forgive a lot. Iqbal minil yaseer, accept from me the little. Wa'fu anil kathir, and forgive from me a lot, the lot. Innaka antal afu al ghafoor. Allahumma rahamni fa innaka raheem. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives several times. By accepting a less, He's still ready to give you several times, up to 700, and even much more than that, depending on a person's ma'rifat. Fourth of all, we learn in the light of this discussion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ready to buy all that, despite the fact that He's the one who provided it. Isn't that strange? Let's suppose I give you a pen, you know, as a gift. So here is the pen, this is yours. Now, then I say to you, okay, if you write down this and this and this thing, then I'm going to pay you this much money. And I'm even ready to buy the whole pen from you. Well, the pen was mine from the beginning anyway, it was not yours. I was the one who gave it to you. But I am the one who is still ready to buy it back from you by paying you money, which you did not deserve otherwise. Isn't that right? He's the one who provided all the blessings. He's the one who provided the whole existence to us. But he's still ready to buy out the same soul and wujud and existence that he provided to us. He's ready to buy it from us back. So, but it depends how much a person has the ma'rifat. It all depends how much ma'rifat level he enjoys. Our behaviors all depend on our ma'rifat. And the rewards in Islam are also depending on the level of your ma'rifat towards the Imam of your time, the walayat of Ahlul Bayt. The lesser your ma'rifat of the Imam, the lesser the reward of the same two rakats that you may pray. And the more the ma'rifat of Imam you enjoy, the more will be the reward of the same two rakats of prayers that is being prayed. Allah doesn't care about the quantity. Allah cares about the quality of our amal. هو الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says that Allah did not say أيكم أكثر عملا. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says that Allah did not say أيكم أكثر عملا. Which one of you performs most of the actions? Allah didn't say that. Allah said which one of you performs the best of the actions. So we learn in the light of this interpretation of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, even if we do less, but it is good in terms of the ikhlas. It is full with the ma'rifat of the Imam of the time through whom we learn about Allah. Then even less is more. Even less is more. So that's the highest level of asset and sarmaye that we have. The ma'rifat of the Imam. So this is what was bothering Hur ibn Yazid al-Riyahi on the occasion of Ashura. He was constantly being reminded that Imam Hussein is the son of Fatima. This was bothering him. He kept on recalling this fact that I am fighting against Hussein ibn Ali, who is the son of Fatima. Constantly he was thinking about that. He did not lose the asset of ma'rifat. Working for the Tahut. Isn't Ibn Ziyad and Yazid is a Tahut. Working in the army of Tahut is the biggest haram in Islam. But the slightest ramak of ma'rifat was still there. He didn't kill his ma'rifat in its totality. So that's why as long as you have the least of the ma'rifat remaining, there's still a ray of hope that you can come back to the straight path. That's the biggest ni'mat of Allah. Ma'rifat of the walayat, which is equal to ma'rifat of Allah. So, in the night time, we find the maqatil have narrated that Hur was walking in his khaymah. You know, he did not sleep throughout the night. He's walking in the khaymah. And his ghulam saw Hur walking in the khaymah. And ghulam brought some drink for him to drink. He just, you know, hit the drink and let it spill on the ground. The ghulam was shocked, you know, what's the matter? He didn't say a word to the master, to the Mawla. He went to the son of Hur and sent his son. His son came and asked the father, what's the problem? You didn't drink water? So Hur grabbed the hand of his son and took him in the night of Ashura, took him close to the khiyam of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, where the children and babies were crying, Al-Atash, Al-Atash. Hur grabbed the hand of his son and took him close to the khiyam of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. Al-Atash, Al-Atash, the children were crying because they did not drink water since several days. God knows how much was the thirst of Imam Hussain. Because the Qiyam were removed away from the Furat River on the 5th of Muharram. And the riwayat says the water ended on the 7th. So we don't know, even Imam Hussain were even more thirsty than 3 days. God knows. Maybe. And Hur said to, when his son heard the voices, Al-Atash, Al-Atash, He said to his son, you know, who is responsible for the thirst of Ahlul Bayt, for the children of Fatima? It's me who is responsible for their thirst. Because I am the one who brought Hussein ibn Ali by forcing him to come towards Karbala. I'm responsible for their thirst. He did not sleep throughout the night, and in the morning he said to his son, tie up my hands on the back of my head. So his son tied up the hands of Hur on his back, and he said, well, I want to go to join my Mawla Imam Hussein and to sacrifice my life for him. His son said, well, if you are going from Batil towards the Haq, from the Jahannam towards the Jannat, then you have to take me with you also, as well. So Hur took his son also, and the riwayat says, when Hur arrived towards Imam Hussein alayhi salam's camp, and the ashab of Imam Hussein, where, you know, they welcomed Hur. When Hur arrived, he actually dropped himself down on the qadam, on the feet of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and he said that قَدْ كَانَ مِنِّ الَّذِي كَانَ, you know, whatever happened, whatever I did. وَقَدْ أَتَيْتُكَ مُوَاسِيًا بِنَفْسِي, I came here to sacrifice my life for your sake. فَهَلْ تَرَى ذَلِكَ تَوْبَةً لِمَا كَانَ مِنِّي. So do you see that if I sacrifice my imam, if I sacrifice my life for your sake, do you think that can be considered as my tawbah? And look at the karam and sakhawat of Imam Hussein and his generosity, that he didn't even mention any of the crime of Hur. Any of the crime of Hur. He said, you know, inzil, that's the way they talk to their guests. That means be our guest. Look at the karam of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And he said, well, I'm not going to raise my head unless you forgive me. And of course Imam Hussein forgave. And we find when Hur was asking for the izn of Imam to go and sacrifice his life, Imam is not allowing Hur to go. How can Imam allow a guest to sacrifice his life? Imam could not provide any food or drink because he didn't have any food or drink to provide for the guest. And the way he provided the drink to the army of Hur few days ago, when the army men were thirsty, and Imam Hussein even provided water for their animals. But this time, Imam doesn't have the water or the food to provide to Hur. Then finally when Hur insisted, Imam allowed for the son of Hur to go first. And we find when the son sacrificed, then Imam learned that Hur is about to go next to the janaza of his son. Imam didn't allow Hur to go. He himself went to see the son of Hur in the final moments. And when finally Hur was given the permission to fight, and Hur did his battle against the Ashqiya, and he fell down on the ground, and we find that all of a sudden he found that somebody raised his head and put it on the thigh. As Hur opened up his eyes, he saw it is Hussein ibn Ali who came next to Hur ibn Yazid, and he's there next to Hur. And we find that Hur's face was turning towards the Qiyam, because he was still thinking, my sin was so great, I don't know whether my sin is really forgiven or not. But then he found Imam Hussein alayhi salam himself coming next to him. And he said that anta hur kama sammatka ummuka, anta hur fi dunya wal akhirah, you are free and hur just like your mom named you, and you are free in dunya and akhirat. And when we find that the blood was coming out from the forehead of Hur, Imam Hussein gave away the handkerchief of his mother Hazrat Fatima to be tied over the forehead of Hur. I would like to say to Imam that after some time, when Ali Asghar, when you are going to take Ali Asghar to the battlefield, and the arrow will strike the neck of Ali Asghar, what are you going to tie at that time?
على رحمة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون إلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين لا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين. Please recite one surah al-Fatiha for the grandmother of sister Hamida and the uncle of sister Ifrah.